Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We're your hosts, Ken Seymour and Richard Geiger. Men out of time.
Men out of men without hats?
If only. We'd have at least $20 to $30 to our name if we had those royalties.
I'd take them. Yeah.
We are back to it, dear listeners. We are going to be continuing our trek through the years, talking about the history of comics in television. Now, of course, we're talking about comic strips, comic books. It must have existed within one of those before it came to the television screen, but it can be animated. It can be live action. It can be good. It can be awful.
It could be Garfield.
Over and over and over again. Yes, sir. But follow us on. We're just going to do the 1 year. There are a handful of entries for this year, so we should be able to get through the entire year in one episode. I think we should be able to continue that mostly through the next few years, and then it's going to start to get hard.
Very difficult. Yes. Two-hour episodes.
Yeah, I just don't think anybody's ready for that. I'm not ready for 2 hours of me in an episode.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. So we're going to get just right into it. Obviously, there are going to be some stuff that you may not recognize. There's going to be some stuff we've already talked about. If we've already talked about the origins, we're not going to go back into it again. So that means in this particular episode, there's only going to be about two things that are brand new.
Very nice.
So pretty easy. So if you remember, dear listeners, 1992, there were a couple of half an hour specials that we talked about that were based upon a comic strip that your parents probably would have loved. And no one else.
And no one else, yeah.
Single frame, not quite like The Far Side. Instead, as, oh, isn't it funny when the dog runs around and makes things dirty? Isn't it funny when the kids misunderstand something?
Yeah, well, now that's just an Instagram reel that is put up 50 times a day by 75 different people. So
right. Back in the day, it was for better or for worse. So it was less of a stream and more of a string of lines that were kind of so-so.
Yeah.
But luckily, when they translated that into the 30-minute episodes that they created, they took the mediocre and turned it into
30 minutes of mediocre.
Yeah. We talked about this last time. The one kind of interesting thing I thought was that Vic Sahay did a voice in the episodes, which I love this dude. He's so funny, which lends me to believe that maybe that's the only reason they had as many of these as they did, is that they had one person that was really kind of trying to hit for the fences and take the quality up a notch, maybe.
Or maybe he was just lucky and this was a good way for him to get some
screen time,
get some money.
Well, whatever it was, it's kind of fun to see that. There were two that were released in 1993. You got, for better or for worse, The Good for Nothing. It's Halloween and Michael is having trouble with a bully named Brad.
Darn you, Brad.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Not going to see it. Not really interested in any way. It's the same kind of animation style as the previous ones, unsurprisingly. If this is your sort of thing, it'll be your sort of thing. Do you like to watch Hallmark movies?
Who doesn't?
Right? Is normal TV just a little too spicy for you and you might be locked into the Christian variant of whatever it is? This might be right up your alley.
And the other one, too.
Yes. For better or worse, A Valentine from the Heart. An uninvited guest attends Michael's Valentine's Day party.
Sounds thrilling.
It's just amazing. Yeah, we're not going to spend any time on those. It's based on the comic strip we talked about who made it before. It was actually quite a popular comic strip.
For better or worse.
Yeah exactly. But these were not popular enough. I don't think they lasted past 93. We'll check that when we come back to it. But I've already done the research, but this is so forgettable, I don't remember if there are any more.
Let's hope not.
All right, let's get to something a little bit better. All right. How about the all-new Dennis the Menace?
Wow.
I hadn't seen this one in a little while, the little rascal.
Lasted a whole 13 episodes.
Yeah, single season. Now, I actually did watch some of this.
I'm sure I've watched some of Dennis the Menace.
Well, I mean, this specifically, this version. And I remember that it was actually not bad. It wasn't amazing.
Yeah.
But, well, the demographic was wrong by the time that I saw it. In 93, I was a junior in high school. I'm not going to care about Dennis the Menace. Maybe if I was 10, this would be more entertaining. 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. But not for the age that I was, because I was too cool at that time.
Too cool to be a menace.
That's right. But had the kind of standard voice groupings that you would have expected. The incredibly talented Alice Beasley was in there. I don't really see which part she played, but she was in it.
She was in it.
So that's kind of nice to see. And, of course, we get Greg Berger, who is in just tons and tons of stuff. Roger Bumpus, also in quite a lot of stuff.
And an amazing name.
Yeah, a little bit. Talking about SNL on our previous episode, we go to a SNL alum, and Linda Gary is in this one. But
looks like everyone was in all 13 episodes, unless they...
Yeah, it seems like it, unless they had some people pop up for just one or two. But I'm not really familiar with Adam Wiley, who did the lead of Dennis.
Brother of Noah?
I don't know, but... Wow, he was very popular for a little while. Oh, he's still popular. So, yeah. So this guy's actually done quite a bit. He's got 158 listings.
Wow, he was in Lucifer.
Yeah, in a single episode. And I know exactly which episode that was in. So now I can't believe I forgot about that. But, you know, quite a bit of stuff. He's in a single episode of Castle. So he's that guy that pops up for one episode of your favorite TV show.
General Zod.
Yeah. Yeah. So he gets to do actually quite a few really neat things. Ben 10. That was a very popular
I like Ben 10.
Show. Yeah.
Phineas and Ferb. There we go. Additional voices.
He gets a lot of additional voices. Superman, he was Jimmy Olsen in the Doomsday adaptation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very, very cool. So,
couple of those, actually.
I take it back. This person who I thought was not in much of anything that's actually been in all sorts of super cool stuff, I got to learn about something new today that was very interesting. We'll see if he pops up in some other things.
All you Gilmore Girls fans, we're talking about Brad Langford.
Yeah.
No idea.
But yes, so the show is basic. We've talked about the origins of the comic strip. It's amusing if you are, I don't know, from the 50s.
That pesky neighborhood kid doing young kid boy things and causing trouble.
Yeah, just kind of.
It's like you Wascally Wabbit, except he's not a wabbit.
He is definitely not a wabbit. All right, well, let's move on. How about something new? There was an animated show that came out in 1993 called Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Was this a rap album?
No, it was a kind of a sci-fi sort of time travel-y thing. The adventures of the human survivors in a future dinosaur-dominated world.
Okay.
So this is based off of a comic book by Stephen E. D'Souza. Stephen E. D'Souza had this from 1990. So it didn't take long to get adapted.
Quick adaptation.
But he's actually written quite a bit of stuff if you look at his pedigree is pretty impressive.
Nominated. What was it? Die Hard? What are you doing, Die Hard?
He was the director, or not the director, but the writer, I think. Yeah, he wrote Die Hard.
Die Hard 2? Oh, that D'Souza. Okay, that's me. Okay.
All right.
Oh, Judge Dredd, come on.
I mean, just
Mr. I Am the Law.
Beverly Hills Cop 3, you know, a little bit of The Running Man. So he did the adaptation of The Running Man.
Commando,
the most improbable 80s action film for a jacked up Austrian to lead in.
I'm telling you what, he was just a brave soldier marching through the fields of incompetent.
They couldn't hit the broad side of anything. Oh, man.
But he did catch a grenade. Hurt his side just a little bit. Wrap it up. You're okay. Throw a couple saw blades here and there. And then, catch a one-liner. Let off some steam. And you got yourself a masterpiece.
It's so much fun to watch as long as you can turn your brain off. It's such a good film with that proviso. So Cadillacs and Dinosaurs is just kind of a fun romp. You're not supposed to take it too terribly convincing. If you take a look at the artistic style, it reminds me of, what was the eco thing?
Captain Planet?
Captain Planet style art.
Yeah, I can see that. The faces, definitely the faces.
Yeah, so I mean, as long as you're okay with kind of a fairly simple artistic interpretation, the vocal talent on this is just truly people I don't recognize. For the most part, I don't know who any of these people are. David Keeley did the lead of Jack Tenrack. Now, if you're not
with
familiar,
just a C.
Right? If you're not familiar with him, I don't blame you because I had no idea who this dude was. He's been a handful of stuff, but it isn't one of those people that you would just immediately recognize in anything. The second lead, as it were, was Susan Roma. Roman doing Hannah Dundee. I wonder if she's possibly Australian.
Sister to Crocodile.
Right, yeah. But now, this is the difference. She's done a lot of voices for things that I recognize anyway, because I watched the old heavy metal movie, and I watched the... When I did watch Sailor Moon, it was always the English dubs. So I didn't watch it in the original Japanese. So I would hear her voice. And she's done a handful of other things, too. But she was in the Bakugan Battle Brawlers. That was something that one of my sons really, really enjoyed. The Bakugan were these little roll-up toys that had magnets in them. And you would throw them, and when they landed on the special thing that came with them, they would open up into a robot fighter of some kind. And they would all have stats, and you could play a game with them.
Interesting. Was the game first or the TV show first?
I feel like they were developed in unison. But, yeah, she's been in a handful of other things. But as far as the vocal talent, like I said, that's pretty much it. I don't know if I recognize any of these names. Maybe Christina Nickel. Well, I recognize Christina Nickel, but not as a voice actress. I mean, she was in a handful of things that I've seen, but nothing that was just...
Ice Soldiers.
Yeah, you know, top tier.
Gospel of Deceit.
But even then, I mean, none of this stuff is just major. So this is one of those things that flew under the radar. I saw... one episode.
And you're like, well, what am I watching?
Right. It's like, you know, I got to come back and watch this again. Because again, I was a junior at this point in high school, but I was also working. So I had no time.
And if it was a Saturday morning thing, right, you had one opportunity to watch it at Saturday at 10 a.m. on whatever station it was on.
Right. So it's one of those things. I don't remember when I saw it, but it's like, I got to come back and watch this again. And I just never did because I never had the opportunity. But if you ever want to read the comics, like I said, I bet you can probably find them. They're not one of the major major investments. That's the word I'm looking for. They're not going to be worth a bunch, but it's a Marvel imprint that published them.
Oh.
So it was just, Marvel imprints did a lot. I mean, you know, you can get Marvel Star Trek comics, Marvel G.I. Joe, Transformers.
Let me some G.I. Joe.
Yeah. So I mean,
Transformers.
Yeah. That sort of thing. But yeah, so fun stuff. I never read the comic originally, so that's why the show was so interesting to me, at least at the time.
Sorry, I'm trying to look up there's a Master P song that's Cadillacs and something else.
I don't think it's Dinosaurs.
It's like,
I have a feeling it's not Dinosaurs.
It's like Lax and something else. I just don't remember what it's called.
It's going to bother you for a while.
It is, but definitely know that there's a Master P song out there.
Yeah. All right, so now let's go into something that you all might have heard of, especially since we've already talked about it several times, whether from our trek through movies or whether our mentioning of the television show already. You know, Tales of the Crypt was a fun time. So if adults enjoy kind of cheesy, campy horror, well, kids would too, right?
Yes.
So how about an animated series based on Tales of the Crypt? We'll call it Tales of the Crypt Keeper. That's solid gold right there. Ran for 3 seasons. So think Goosebumps.
What did it say, 30 episodes, something like that?
Yep, 38 episodes.
10 39 dozen a season probably, so
yeah,
good enough to keep going, I guess.
30 minutes, very very consumable, so it won't take a ton of your time. You can tell just by looking, if you go to IMDb, they've got the intro animation for the episode showing, and it just looks like, what if they updated Scooby-Doo a little bit?
Yes, I agree.
And so it looks like just so much fun. I never got to see this.
Never saw an episode. Nope.
No. But it looks like it's so incredibly absurd and silly that I would definitely want to see it.
And the Crypt Keeper just looks like a cartoon character.
He's so happy. All the monsters catch up with the little kid, and they brought popcorn and drinks so that they can watch the film. Oh man. Yeah, I definitely want to see this. It's another animation style that reminds me of Captain Planet a little bit.
Oh yes.
But
not as much as the other one.
Though. No, just kind of halfway between that and Scooby-Doo. But unlike the other, you know, you still got John Cassier doing the voice of Crypt Keeper, because who else are you going to do to get that? But, you know, there's a ton of people that just lent temporary voices, and you get some major names.
George Buza.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of things. David Hemblin also been in just a ton of things. Who else we got? Let's do all cast and crew, because I bet it's a long list.
I imagine it would have a lot of guests, just like the show itself would.
Yeah. Cedric Smith. There we go.
Keith. Man, no, Keith Knight. No.
Yeah, I don't know Keith Knight off the top of my head. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. I'm getting down this list and I'm not finding much. Okay.
Well, let's just say it was good enough to go.
Tara Strong in an episode. Whew, saved.
Just goes to show you that Tara Strong's been in quite literally everything.
Yeah, and rightly so. She's freaking amazing. But yeah, so if you like very much toned down horror to the point where it's definitely not going to be scary and probably will only be mildly interesting, I bet that this show would be for you.
Right up your alley. Robert Zemeckis, Joel Silver, Richard Donner. A lot of producer credits on here for these guys.
Yeah, kind of makes sense. All right, so let's go to a live action show. We've had a lot of animation. This show was a mini series, and it's got an actor in it that is very clearly one of everyone's favorites. If you ask the average person nowadays who they would want to have in a show that would, you know, just kind of root them in and just make them feel better about watching the show, you would, of course, be talking about Jim Belushi. Nobody thinks about Jim Belushi anymore. I love Jim Belushi, but he was in one of my favorite films back in the day when I was kid, Mr. Destiny. I just loved that particular film.
Was he in he was in an Arnold movie, right? Red Heat.
Red Heat.
Yep.
And he was good in that. So The Wild Palms is the name of the television miniseries based upon a comic book that came out a bit ago. When I first looked for it, the first comic I found came out after the show. It's like, uh-oh, did I mess up? Because it's like, this came out in November of 1993. It's like, well, that's after the show came out. So did I get them backwards for once? No. There was actually, they released a comic strip in Details Magazine. So it's actually based on a comic strip, not a comic book. And that came out in 1990. So predated by a few years, so still counts for the list.
Details Magazine.
But so the Wild Palms miniseries was basically just it's very much political and intrigue and romance and not what you would expect out of a comic book or a comic strip. But think mid-90s. On that. So, you know, there were some really good things, like, you know, West Wing started to come out late 90s. Am I remembering that right?
Maybe. Never watched it, so I don't know.
But it wasn't too long before some of those really started being awesome. So this is right before that happened. This was just weird.
The X-Files.
So yeah, a multinational corporation attempts to take over America while small pockets of resistance hold out against rampant technology.
Okay.
I told you. Political intrigue, little romance, some dystopian future stuff, but a cast you cannot argue with. Other than Jim Belushi, you got Robert Loggia in there. I mean, he was in a ton of stuff and was always good. A young Kim Cattrall.
Dana Delaney. What was the one that she was in where they were in Vietnam? Wasn't there one she was in Vietnam?
I believe that's right. She was in a ton of stuff, though. She was
China Beach.
Right. Yep. I was thinking Tombstone is where I would think of her whenever I think of Delaney.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been in a ton of stuff. Yeah, Ernie Hudson, who, you know, how can you not love a Ghostbuster in anything?
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Aliens.
Right. You got Ben Savage.
B.B. Newworth.
Yeah, just actually a really interesting cast.
Brad Dourif. Now, do you know who Brad Dourif is?
How can you not know who that is? I mean, he is one of my favorite actors. Unfortunately, didn't he die not too long ago, a few years ago?
I don't know, because...
Well, let's double check. I'm pretty sure he is no longer with us.
A lot of folks will love him from The Lord of the Rings.
Right.
Wormtongue, is that what the character's name is?
Exactly. So let's go with the biography.
But.
Remembering that correctly. He's still alive. I wonder who I'm thinking of that died not too long ago. But the thing that gets me is when you look at him, he's so clean cut in this. And then looking at him as Worm Tongue, it's like, man, he did so good with that role.
Oh, he's in so many things.
Yeah.
He's very good.
He's just awesome. Francois Chau has been in a ton of things as smaller roles. I always love seeing him in anything. You know, just Lost, obviously. He was in quite a bit of that. Oh, that's right. He It was Walter and the Tick. So much good stuff. But yeah, so Wild Palms. I watched this miniseries. I actually did get to see this one.
Was it wild?
It was. I remember thinking that it was. It would be weird if it weren't so cheesy. It was just super cheesy. It was really hard. Do you remember the V miniseries?
Oh yeah.
It made me think of that. Just take out the aliens.
Interesting.
So. Seeing some of the snippets from this, it's so weird.
Okay.
Weird and cheesy. Yeah. So if you like a television show that's going to challenge your concept of what you
and you're okay with low tech.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't age well on the tech at all. But it's so...
And you're okay with cheesy.
Train wreck. That's what I'm looking for. It's train wrecky. You can't look away. It's just one of those things. It's just, look at the preview. With a great cast. It was so nuts. All right, so anyway. Wild Palms, one little mini series. Okay, now I'm going to just... start by apologizing a little bit to you, dear listeners. I know I've been talking about either shows that we know are not great or didn't last very long or just, you know, we didn't watch. And it's really hard to get to one of those shows that we can really comment on that at least one of us invested a chunk of time into to really enjoy. The last one that we're doing in this, I watched nearly the entire series, and it's a longer series.
And I've probably seen three incomplete episodes of.
Now, if you haven't seen it yet, it's worth watching, but I will give the caveat that the lead in the film currently does not make what I would call quality product anymore and has some political views that are, let us say... not great.
Not great. Ladies and gentlemen, Dean Cain.
Dean Cain, yes. We are talking about the adventures, Lois and Clark, the new adventures of Superman. Now, regardless of what you think of the dude's politics or whatever, he was good in this show. And so was Terry Hatcher. I mean, they had great chemistry. They delivered on lines. It was hard not to really love both of them in the role. It was the, in my opinion, it was the first introduction of a live action Superman that I was like, oh, okay, this clicks. They get it. The technology has advanced just enough to make it a little more plausible in how they do things. And they know the comic book source material, even though they deviate from it. Well, not deviate from it. It feels very, very rooted in the Golden Age.
It's real and it's spectacular.
Yeah, it's so much fun. You've got Eddie Jones doing Jonathan Kent, and he did so good. Lane Smith. You will never hear me say a bad thing about Lane Smith, one of my all-time favorite actors. The dude had such a great, a very recognizable voice. He never really adjusted it all that much. Once he got that Southern thing going, it's like, oh, yeah, I love this dude, whoever he is.
And what else was he in? Was he a Walker, Texas Rangers?
He was in The Distinguished Gentleman, for one. He was in My Cousin Vinny. He was in Red Dawn, Son-in-Law, The Mighty Ducks. He was in so much.
Was in Walker, Texas Ranger for an episode. Yay!
Yeah. So, but the things that people most of the time remember him for is mostly like My Cousin Vinny, possibly Son-in-Law, depending upon whether you're a Pauly Shore fan or not. But I think of him for other things. But he'd been acting for a long time. He's got 111 credits. Dude was always really, really good. But not just that, but John Shea as Lex Luthor. That was a really, really good Lex Luthor. It was the, you know, because we're used to, at that point, we got the Christopher Reeve Superman films where we had just an absurd, like cheesy Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
And we hadn't seen the live action Lex Luthor that had any charm or any gravitas to him. And a little bit in the cartoons, it was still very mustache twirly. Ha-ha, Superman, I'm going to get you. It was never really anything you could take serious. Mm-hmm. But John Shea took it down a notch and was very low smolder menace. And it's like, oh, I really, really like that. And gave us a little different interpretation of the character, which was really a lot of fun. Right, that's right. Kate Callan is Martha Kent. She was great. Tracy Scoggins is Cat Grant. You know Tracy Scoggins, right?
I've heard of her.
She's been in a few things. But, yeah.
So the overall tone of this, was it very, like, interaction-driven? It wasn't, like, enemy, bad guy-driven. It was, like, daily life-driven.
It was daily life, but it was still Monster of the Week. It was a very A-team formula. There was, with the difference that there was character development, and things did stick. It didn't stay static. So, you know, the relationship between the two of them evolved. The relationship between all of the friends evolved. So it was nice in that respect. But in terms of the bad guys and things like that, that really didn't change all that much. But it didn't need to. Now, one of the fun things that was that really stuck with me most, talking about the villains of the show, we got a germaphobe that got to play Mr. Mitspitalik.
The host game show?
He did a couple of shows. America's Got Talent?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
He's a germaphobe that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah. So as soon as you say germaphobe and host, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, we know what you're talking about. But they got a lot of really fun kind of guest stars on this show. So if you wanted to get somebody good, you could generally do it, and you got some talent that would pop by.
Was this an ABC product?
Oh yeah, Bruce Campbell was in this for 3 episodes. I believe so. It was a major network. It was either NBC or ABC. I could not tell you who it was. But, yeah, Howie Mandel, that was the name that I was trying to remember with all my might, and my brain would just not work. But, yeah, just take a look at list of guest stars on the show, and it's just 80s, 90s royalty, basically.
Any big reoccurring villains that showed up season over season?
There was a handful. I mean, Lex was always the big villain. But other than that, you didn't really get a lot of really recurring villains. I mean, Tempest showed up several times, and that's Lane Davies, who's always a lot of fun, if you're not familiar with who that is.
What about other heroes?
Not really, no. They would occasionally show up for a single episode, but that was about it. It was they kept the focus on Superman and Lois, and when would she find out who he was? And you know, that didn't take long. And then how can they be a couple? She's a reporter and he's a intergalactic superhero. How can they make it work? But it was a lot of fun.
And now look at all the shows they've got.
Yeah, just tons and tons and tons. But yes, 4 seasons is what this lasted. It was a lot of fun for the time that it was on, and I really feel it was paved the way for some of the good stuff that we got to have later. Showed that you could have a show based on a comic that was a little more or based on a superhero comic, I should say, that was a little more diverse, a little more focused in a slightly different spot. So you could really enjoy it and still have some more fun with it.
Kind of open the gateways for some of those WB
shows. Definitely so. So I told you there weren't that many. That was it. That was 1993, ladies and gentlemen. So did you see any of those shows? I know I did. I just told you about several of them.
I have seen none of them.
Well, talking about being a bridge to better shows, next week we're going to be coming back with our initial impressions of the newest season of one of those shows.
Is it The Girls?
If they want to be, but I don't think so.
Is it The Men?
They sure don't act like it.
Oh, the Gentlemen.
The Gentlemen, right. We're, of course, talking about The Boys. Season 4, this promises to be something very interesting.
The first seasons were good, but that we also got recently, because my brain doesn't work.
Gen V.
Gen V. Mm-hmm. So I know we'll see some things that pertain to that in this season as well. But
some of the animated individual episodes might potentially play into it a little bit. Hopefully it'll be something that you will enjoy as much as I expect that we will. Until next time, keep reading those comic books. And oh, by the way, if you haven't picked it up yet, there's still time for you to get to your comic book store and check out the new crossover that's happening in Marvel Comics that's got all sorts of vampire stuff in it. Hey, take a look. Ask your local comic book shop about it. It is super cool. It's infecting everything. It's in a bunch of different comics, and it's a lot of fun. But like I said, until next week, have some fun. Read some comics, watch some TV, and ignore your chores.